brought him back to life right quick. Now, I wonder what the conversation would have been with Eutychus's folks that next morning as they were talking. What was it like, Eutychus? Was you really dead? What was it like while you were... Well, he wasn't dead very long. Maybe we ought to think about Lazarus, you know, the brother of Mary and Martha, and how he had been in the tomb for 4 days. In fact, was it Mary and Martha? I think it was Martha. Told Jesus, he's been dead now for 4 days. He's probably smelling by now, beginning to decay. And he was there that long, and now can you imagine what it was like the next morning at Lazarus' home with Mary and Martha? Lazarus, what was it like while you were dead? Did you know anything? Did you see anybody? Did you see anybody else that was dead? What happened, Lazarus? Now, I just have a feeling that kind of conversation went on with the people around him, because wouldn't you have asked it? I would have if it had been me. I'd like to have known. We don't have any record of it, though. And you know what? I don't believe Lazarus could have told them what. I doubt Lazarus even knew he died. Frank Ford's thoughts now, not scriptural, but I believe myself that when Jesus, as well as Paul raising Eutychus, I believe when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, or anyone in the whole Bible that was raised from the dead, I believe they were raised from the dead to be just like they were before they died. All those things that were happening to him, to Lazarus that 4 days, he knew nothing about it. I base that on one scripture, even though it doesn't say it completely. But you remember Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe it is, that he says, I knew a man that ascended up in the third heavens. And he said, that man saw things that couldn't be uttered. Now, I think Paul was talking about himself. That's an opinion there, but it seems that way, that Paul was speaking about himself being that man. And the fact that that man was caught up into the third heavens, he said he saw things that couldn't be uttered. I think in the same way, all the things that happened to Eutychus, Lazarus, anyone else that was raised from the dead, those were things that they saw that they could not tell about. It's just like it got wiped from your memory. You know, they've got a medicine now that if you have some kind of, like for a colonoscopy, for example, you know, they put you to sleep, or if they put some of those pain medicines in, you know what they put you to sleep for. When you wake up, you don't remember anything about the feeling or anything about it. And I think it was that way. That's my feeling only, and you can feel however you want to feel, because there's nothing said in the Bible specifically about it. So you can use whatever opinion you want to, and we'll have liberty about that. But anyway, I just sort of think that that's the way it is. And you know, life after death, nobody knows anything about it, because it's not something you can carry to the laboratory and examine and find out about. There's nobody that's lived to come back and tell it, I don't believe, those even in the Bible who died. So where do the dead go? Where are the dead? Well, some say they've ceased to be. They just don't exist anymore because they play on the word death. But however, if the spirit doesn't die, and we'll get into that a little bit more later, then the person's really not dead spiritually. Now, the people who believe these things, they quote passages like Ezekiel chapter 18, for example, verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine, the souls of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins will die. But they do that without an understanding of what Ezekiel's talking about on die. He's talking about somebody that, when you die, you separate yourself from God. and his presence. So you can't be in God if you die a sinner, especially. The soul that sinneth is going to die. Now, another passage they use is Psalms 115, verse 17. There it says, "The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he's given to the sons of men. But the earth he's given to the sons of men, and the dead do not praise the Lord, nor does any who go down into silence." Well, the only problem with that verse of Scripture is they sort of forget about verse 18 that's right there after verse 17. It says, "But as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Praise the Lord." So they don't put that one in. It seems like that one ought to be there too. Now, just food for thought. There's a lot of ideas about what happens right after death. There are some preachers, some even in the brotherhood, that believe that when you die and you're buried, and then out here somewhere, resurrection, but in between this death and resurrection, there's nothing, you know nothing. It's just like you went to sleep last night, didn't have any dreams, and you slept soundly from the time you went to sleep till you got up, and you didn't know anything in between. It's just like they're called sometimes the soul sleepers, that they just don't believe anything happened. Now, there's also some, and this doesn't really apply exactly in what we're saying tonight, but there's some that believed, and there's one pretty famous brother, I won't name his name, in the brotherhood, that he believed that when you die, you go directly to heaven or you go directly to hell, one of the two. And there are a lot of people that believe that judgment's just for the living people, not for those who have already died. Well, we'll talk about that as we go along. I got to quit. It's not supposed to be very long, but if we have long enough, we'll talk about that one too. Jesus declared in Matthew chapter 22, he's talking to the Sadducees in particular, he said, "Whosoever lives and believes on me shall never die." Whoever believes on me will never die. That's a statement from Jesus himself. I read the wrong scripture on that. Jesus said, "God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living." And he also then said, "Whosoever liveth and believes on me shall never die." So then, if you put your faith in Christ and believe in him, you'll live forever. Matthew chapter 17, you remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus was transfigured before Peter and James and John. And I don't know exactly how all this happened, but I know this, that Peter, James, and John saw Jesus there, transfigured, and Moses and Elijah, representing the law and the prophets, they saw him alive and well. And we know that that's the case. Now, Paul declared, the disciples, Jesus and the disciples too, used sleep a lot to represent death. And Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 10, he said, chapter 5, verse 10, he said, "Whether we wake or sleep, we live together with him." Now that sounds to me like that even though you're dead, you're still living some way or another. Now I know that whenever you die, something happens. Your heart quits beating. And in fact, you remember what I said about the blood this morning and how it's used and how it's the very river of life itself. you're carried to the undertakers and they drain all the blood out of you. There's no blood left. So you're really dead. There's no life in you, physically speaking. So there has to be some part of man that seemingly or really is still alive. If Paul was true, and we believe he was, because we believe every word of the Bible, that the Bible is inerrant and that everything in it is true. If it's not all true, it's none true. So man must have then a two-sided being. You remember another thing Paul said to the letter to the Second Corinthian letter. He said, though our outward man perish, and this is in chapter 4, verse 16, though our outward man perish, that inward man is renewed day by day. You know, the way we ought to be as Christians today even. Some of you are like me, you're getting old. If we continue to get old, what ought to be happening, as long as we keep our mental facilities about us, what ought to be happening, though this old body of ours is perishing, it's decaying, I know it is, because I got a knee that's hurting me right now. This body, all kinds of aches and pain. The older we get, the more pains and aches we have. But we ought to be, as far as our spiritual side, it ought to be renewed every day, getting better. We ought to be getting closer to the Lord every day that we live as Christians. Just like our love ought to grow for one another every day as the days pass by. Paul also said in that same letter, 2 Corinthians, in the next chapter, chapter 5 and verse 1, he said, for we know if our earthly house be dissolved, or as the King James Version puts it, tabernacle or tent, if our earthly house, this old body, is dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made by hands, eternal in the heavens. So those of us who are Christians have something beyond this life waiting on us. Let's notice a little item, another item from Ecclesiastes chapter 17. Here Solomon is saying, for man goes to his eternal home, while mourners go about in the street. Remember him, God, before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed, the pitcher by the wall is shattered, and the wheel by the cistern is crushed. Then the dust. What little dirt we got in us. Remember this morning I told you we're about 75% water. The rest of us is dirt. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. You know, that's interesting when it says it'll return to dust as it was. You remember what was said in Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 8? When it was talking about God making man, it said that God took dust of the earth and almost like a potter fashions clay. I don't know, I'd love to know exactly how God did it, but it says that he took dust, and I visualize it like somebody on the beach making a sandcastle, and out of that dust he formed the form of a man from the dust. And then it says he breathed into the nostrils of that man, and the man became a living soul. And you know, that was different from the way everything else was created, because the birds of the air, the things in the sea, the beasts that crawl on the earth or creep on the earth, all the creeping things on the earth, all the animals of the earth, God spoke and they were there. But you know, he took time to do something different with man. Man was not made like everything else. He took time to build himself a man out of dirt. And from that dirt, He made a living being. And now Solomon is saying that when you die, that man will return back to dirt, but the spirit will return to God who gave it. Now, you know, you've read stories about people that died and then came back to life, you know, like somebody saw all these lights and things, you know, where they were about to die, but then they didn't really die. Let me tell you something. If I understand the Bible correctly, that ain't so. Because when the spirit leaves the body, that's when you die. And when the spirit leaves the body, there's no saying, hey, come back here, spirit. I want you to come back. Even in resuscitation, that spirit didn't leave the body. It's just getting ready to, and doctors were able to get you back to going again. But you see, when we die, the spirit leaves us, and it's gone back to God who gave it. Another interesting verse of scripture, Genesis chapter 35, Rachel and Jacob. Rachel and Jacob had come back to Bethany, and then they were going on down to Bethlehem, or Ephrath, as it's recorded in the King James Version, I believe it is. But anyway, on their way down there, all of a sudden Rachel started having labor pains. And she wound up giving birth to her baby boy on the way down there. And unfortunately, Rachel died giving birth to her child. And she named him as she was dying, she named him Benoni, meaning son of my sorrow. And it says when it came about, her soul was departing, for she died, that she named him Benoni. So Rachel, her soul was spirit, was departing, and she died. But Jacob didn't much like that name, son of my sorrow. Can you imagine going around with that name? He's son of sorrow. So Jacob named him Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. But anyway, that's another example of the spirit leaving because she was dying. So if the spirit lives on after death, where does it go? Does it go to its eternal abode? Well, no, I don't think it does, even though there is some who believe that. If this is true, why did Jesus say things in Matthew chapter 25, verse 30? No, I'm sorry, I'm getting my scriptures wrong. In John chapter 16, verse 8, that when he comes, that's whenever Jesus comes back, he says he will convict the world regarding sin and righteousness and judgment. Convicting the world means the whole bunch, everybody. Then Matthew 25, you remember that's the great judgment scene where all the nations of the earth are gathered together. And the Lord judges them, puts the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left, and so forth. You remember that story without us taking time to get into it. And then in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, for it is appointed once to die, and after that the judgment. Now, you know, we read in passages like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 where that we're all going to be raised and appear before the dead shall be raised and the righteous shall go up to meet him in the air. I believe that even the righteous who go up to meet him in the air, that we have to die to become a spirit to go and appear before the Lord in judgment day. Some, as they say, claim it's just for the living souls. But listen to this passage that Jesus, in talking to the people of Israel, said in Matthew chapter 12. He said, the men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation even the men of Nineveh will be at the judgment and will condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. But there's a greater than Jonah here now. You know, we read that we're all going to receive a crown of righteousness at the last day. You remember Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I believe it is, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. In the future, there's reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. So, we're all going to be there on the day of judgment, just like the Lord said. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, Peter said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. So it's for all of us. We know that. So where do the dead go? Well, listen to this prophecy of David, Psalms chapter 16, verse 10. David says, For thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, as he's talking to God. What's Sheol? Well, Peter quoted David in Acts chapter 2 in the sermon there on the day of Pentecost. And instead of saying Sheol when he quoted him, Peter used the word Hades. So this seems like the word Hades and Sheol mean the same thing. The difference is Sheol's Hebrew for a place, and Hades, or in the Greek, it's really Hadios in the Greek language. So Hadios in the Greek language, I don't know much Hebrew, just enough to know I don't know it. But I do know this about Greek, that Hadios means a place of unseen spirits, and I'm told by those who know that Sheol means the same thing. Well, let's think a little bit about that as we think through some more things. Remember what Jesus said to the thief? When that thief said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Today you're going to be with me in paradise. Paradise? Yes, Jesus was going to die, and he said, when I die, to this very day, and that day he died, you'll be with me in paradise. Well, you remember I was talking about Paul saying that man that he knew that went up in, Paul referred to where that man went in heaven, in the third heaven, as paradise also, in that chapter in 2 Corinthians. What does paradise mean? Well, paradise is a word that was probably coined by the Persians, and it meant a place of pleasure or a garden of grounds used for hunting. That kind, it was a pleasure garden, basically. Now, if Christ went to paradise, we know he didn't go to heaven. You know why I know he didn't go to heaven? Because you remember when he was resurrected, Mary Magdalene, some of the other ladies had come, and Mary was still hanging around the tomb, and all of a sudden she saw a man. She thought it was the gardener, and she said, Tell us where they put him so I can go and take care of him, is basically what she was saying. And Jesus said, Mary. And it was Jesus. You know, he said something that's interesting. She's, you know, I can just almost see Mary just grabbing him to hug him. But he said, don't touch me. Why? I don't know why he said that exactly, except what he said why. And I don't know why it fits into anything, but if the Lord said it, it's so. He said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, which is in heaven. He hadn't gone to heaven yet. He died and went somewhere else besides back to the Father. While he was here on earth. That I know, because the Bible tells me so. So paradise, and remember the Hadean world is just a place of unseen spirits. So the Hadean world must have something like paradise in it as well, because departed spirits go somewhere. Well, there's another little tidbit of information that sort of fits into this. Again, if you start reading the Bible enough, you'll find out a whole lot of things in it that, well, I just don't know how that could happen, but it did. And if the Bible says it did, it did. And this passage is in 2 Peter chapter 2 and starting at verse 4. There Peter talks about, now get this, some angels in heaven that didn't do like they're supposed to do. They sinned. You know what? They were cast down into, now a lot of the versions you read will say hell. It doesn't give you the Greek word in there. It just says hell. In fact, just about every time it talks about any of this, it talks about Hades or anything else. It happened tonight that the passage that Brother Bob read, it talked about the rich man being in Hades. But if you read the King James Version, it says he was in hell. But the right word there is hadios in the Greek language, or Hades. But in this passage in chapter 2 of 2 Peter, boy, I can't get my tongue untangled tonight. But anyway, it says that these angels were cast out into a place, not hell, as you think about hell, but in a place called Tartarus. Only place in the Bible this word's used. And to the Greeks, it described a place of the wicked dead. Now, I don't believe that's where Christ went. He went to paradise. He didn't go there where those angels are. So this must be still another place in Hades. Well, there's numerous places in the Bible that talk about another place called hell. In the King James Version, and it's found, in fact, 11 times in the Gospels and one more time in some of the epistles. But let me read you a passage here from Matthew chapter 5. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be in subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother or sister's Raca is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Now, that word hell there is an interesting word in the Greek, too, because it's a word called Gehenna. And it's talked about several times. You know, if your right eye offends you or your right hand offends you, all of those things, it says, cut it up, pluck it out or cut it off. Why? Because it's better to live in heaven with a maimed arm or whatever than to stumble with your right hand and as a result, cast off your whole body into hell. And that word is Gehenna. And it's used several times throughout the Gospels to refer to Gehenna. So that's a third place. And we've already talked about heaven. That's a fourth place of where the people are. Well, now, I don't know exactly how to put all of that together. But I think if we take just a minute to talk about that story of the rich man and Lazarus that Brother Bob read a while ago, maybe we can glean some things that will help us a little bit in this thinking. All of us are familiar with the rich man and Lazarus. Now, this is a different Lazarus from Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus. The word Lazarus here just simply means dives, D-I-V-E-S, dives. You remember what it was said about him, that the rich man died. This poor beggar who had been at his gates, he died also. Now, the rich man, when he died, we don't know exactly what all happened, but he probably had an elaborate funeral, or as we would call it. But we do know one thing, it says he was buried. But Lazarus didn't even get buried, as far as we can tell. But the angels came and took Lazarus' spirit way to Abraham's bosom. And then the story sort of changes its scenes. And here's Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. The rich man in torment. He's really having problems down there. And he says, Father Abraham, he can look and see Abraham and Lazarus up there. Father Abraham, please let Lazarus come and just dip his finger in some water and touch it to my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. Abraham said, son, you remember in your lifetime you had a lot of good things. You enjoyed life. Lazarus laid at your gate suffering. Now Lazarus is in comfort. You're tormented. And beyond that, there's this great gulf, as the King James Version puts it, or the right word really is what was read to us by Bob tonight, a great chasm is between us and you, so that we can't come there and you can't come here. It's impossible. Oh, but if that can't happen, then just let Lazarus go back to the earth and warn my five brothers so that they don't come to this awful place. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Oh, but Father Abraham, if somebody from the dead came back, they'd listen to them. Now, Jesus is talking to the Jews. Boy, he's making a big prediction right here to them. He says, oh, but if they won't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe one even though he comes back from the dead. And there was one that came back from the dead. You remember Jesus. And they didn't listen to him. Now, I don't know if specifically those brothers didn't listen, those five brothers. Now, some people say, well, that's just a parable, a story that Jesus told. Do you know? It might be, I don't know, but if it is, it's the only one that has names in it in particular. And then also, did you ever read a parable that Jesus told that some Jew didn't come back? Oh, Lord, that couldn't possibly have happened like that. There's no such thing as a sword going forth. Oh, but every parable that Jesus told had a true meaning behind it, and it was in reality life itself that he was talking about. And if this was a parable, which, okay, let it be a parable, but still the facts in the parable are the same. Now, I don't know just exactly how to get a hold of this, but I gave you a lesson in biology today. I'm going to give you a lesson in engineering graphics. I used to teach that, but I don't know if you can see this or not, but I'm just going to try to draw a circle on this page. That ain't no circle, but it'll maybe you can see that. But then if I draw that circle, then I'm gonna put some lines here in the middle of the circle. That last letter don't look like a F, but I'm just gonna put some lines in that represents a gulf. And then up, I'm gonna draw another line up at the top and another line down at the bottom. Like that, you see. I don't know if you can see that or not, but maybe you can. If you can picture this in your mind, then on this side over here, I'm going to put a P representing paradise. And on this side over here, a H representing heaven. Okay? And then down below, I'm going to put a word for Hades. And over here, a big G for Gehenna. So you see, we've got four places. We've got a circle, lines in between the circle. Then up at the top, we got heaven and paradise. And down at the bottom, we've got Gehenna and Hades. Well, really, I did that wrong. I should have put a T there. I'm not doing a good job remembering what I'm doing. Tartarus is what that is over there. This whole circle represents Hades. My pen's running out of ink. The whole circle is Hades. All of those places are in Hades. Heaven, paradise, Tartarus, and Gehenna. And then between those places is a great chasm or gulf. That's sort of the picture that I picture life after this life. So when you die, you're going to either go to, right away, you're either going to paradise, place of pleasure, or Tartarus, a place of misery. And then at judgment, you're going to be judged, and from there you'll be sentenced either to heaven or Gehenna hell, eternal hell where there's flaming fire. You ever thought about what it's going to be like 5 minutes after death? Well, the parable of the rich man Lazarus, I think, tells us that. 5 minutes after death, you're still going to be alive and conscious. You're going to recognize people who have gone to their eternal abode, and I think those who haven't. We'll retain our memory. Remember what Abraham said to the rich man's son? Remember? 5 minutes after death, you'll know your eternal destiny. You know, you don't die and go to Tartarus waiting, just wondering what's going to happen to you. No, you already know what's going to happen to you. You know what's going to happen to you right now. While you're living right now, you know what's going to happen to you. If you're living like you ought to live, you know whether you're really a Christian or not. If you're not really a Christian, you're going just like a marten to its gourd straight to hell, and you're going straight to Tartarus when you die, and that's where you're going to stay until the resurrection day comes, when all the saints arise from the grave, and we all arise from the grave and go to meet the Lord in the air in judgment to be judged. And judgment's not a time for determining who's right and wrong. That's already been determined. It's time for the judge to give us our sentence. You're on my right, on my left. Come, you inherit the kingdom of the earth. Our spirit does not go to the grave. That piece of clay that's buried in the grave is all that it is, clay and water. The spirit returned to God. It does not go directly to heaven or hell. It's going to paradise or Tartarus, one of the two. And one day, when that great trumpet sound shall be heard, judgment time is here. You know what? It may not be as long as we think it might be, because the mess that our world is in today, I don't know. We don't any know when. Only the Father knows. But I can visualize the Father being very upset with the way our world is going. Because more and more, there are fewer than fewer that believe in God. And I can just see God, and thinking about the way he dealt with those Israelites, I can just see God deciding, time for the end. It's time to bring what few saints we've got down here home to get out of this mess. And all we can say is, Lord, come quickly.